Welcome to the weekly podcast of Epworth United Methodist Church in Berkeley, California. Reverend Odette Lockwood Stewart, pastor of Epworth United Methodist Church, spoke on October 28, 2007. Her sermon was titled, Worthless. When we face our brokenness and offer it to God, God will sustain us. The lectionary reading is Psalm 51, verses 10 through 17, and Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14.
I have a fill-in-the-blank prayer for you this morning. How would you complete this prayer? God, I thank you that I am not like those people. I may not be perfect, but at least I am not like the others that I could and will mention at this time. Seriously, who might you name in your family, at work, at school, in this church? Now, I'm not asking you to do this aloud. But fill in the blank in your heart in prayer. Thank you, God, that I am not like blank. That's the great thing about being a part of a family or a family of faith or the human family. There's always someone we can name or blame to make ourselves feel better. God, I thank you that I am not like those other people. Why is it that if we can point to someone we believe has done a greater injustice, not taken us into account, or made a greater mistake, gained more weight, made more of a fool of themselves, it makes us feel better? Thank you, God, that Epworth is not like those churches. On Thursday evening, I was feeling badly about something I had done and something that I had not done that day. You know, one of those days when you suffer involuntary cringes every time you remember what you did or did not do? Thursday was such a day for me. Then that evening, in Game 2 of the World Series, I watched as Colorado Rockies star player Matt Holliday, who had had 4 hits for 4 at-bats, got picked off at first base in his lame effort to steal second base by at least 3 feet. It cost his team a chance to tie or to take the lead in that game. And I kid you not, when Matt Holliday made his major blunder on network television before millions of people, it made me feel better. Now, I know that I normally keep my baseball loyalty to the Boston Red Sox a big secret in this congregation, but I ask your indulgence in the pulpit this one week for one story. In the year of our Lord 2004, the Red Sox won the World Series. For the first time in 86 years, it was amazing. And fans, including me, talked about finally the end of the curse of the Bambino. Now, the story for those of you who are uninitiated of the curse is that Boston had won 5 World Series in their early years. But then, in 1918, the Boston Red Sox traded Babe Ruth to the Yankees. And from that year till 2004, they did not win another World Series. Whereas the Yankees won something like 25. I'm not sure on that count. However, there was at least one other more relevant and unacknowledged curse that caused Boston to lose in many ways for many generations. Racism. In 1948, the Red Sox were the first team who offered a tryout to Jackie Robinson at Fenway Park. But the jeers and screams of fans and the attitudes of the owners, who didn't think he would fit in with their organization or their facilities, they said, led them to decline offering him, to sign him. They also could have signed Willie Mays, but failed to do so. Persistent and pervasive racism was a curse that lost Boston a chance at a lineup that would have brought together Jackie Robinson, Willie Mays, and Ted Williams. It also helped foster and foment racism that was already existent in that community and in our nation. In fact, the Boston Red Sox were the last major league team to integrate. Over 10 years after Jackie Robinson broke the racial barrier with the Brooklyn Dodgers, Oakland's Pumpsy Green, who some of us run into at the Berkeley Downtown Y, even these days, was the first African-American player signed by Boston in 1959. The treatment of those who were signed is also a part of this unexamined curse and history. Even today, there are players who have in their contract clauses stipulating no trades to Boston. In more recent years, new owners have publicly acknowledged, repented of, and have worked hard to address this shameful history. But it is unacknowledged by the Red Sox Nation. While Sox fans have been busy defining ourselves against the Yankees, defending ourselves against the curse, we have not faced our sin of racism either. And brothers and sisters, as a member of Red Sox Nation, as a pastor in the United Methodist Church, as a white citizen in the United States of America, I need to face the history and reality of the sin of the team, of the church, and the nation that I love and in which I participate. I have to face my own sin without naming the sins and failures of others. In 12-step programs, there's a prayer that I pray millions of times a day. Whenever I feel resentful or judgmental, or I'm going to list my virtues over and against someone else, it is, God bless them, change me. God bless them, change me. When we hear the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector, if our impulse on any conscious or unconscious level is to think, feel, or say, thank God I'm not like that Pharisee, then we've missed the point of the parable. The startling thing about this parable, for those of who heard it in the story in the days of Jesus, is that the Pharisee and the tax collector did exactly what was not expected of them. Pharisees were devout and faithful. Their religious practices helped assure the spiritual and even the physical survival of the Jewish people under Roman Empire. On the other hand, the tax collector was an unfaithful collaborator who taxed everything he or she touched for the coffers of the empire and who stole in order to survive. The unexpected good news of this parable is that even faithful Pharisees fall to self-righteousness, and that even Roman collaborators draw close to God when they self-examine and pray honestly. Jesus was speaking to the disciples, not to the Pharisees, when he, quote, told this parable to some who trusted in themselves and regarded others with contempt. The story bears a challenge and a promise for the followers of Christ. The challenge is that even at our best, the impulse to justify ourselves and judge others is in us and within us, with us. The promise is even that at our worst, God's graceful love reaches out to us, within us, and with us, transforming through forgiveness and right relationship. I have a second fill-in-the-blank prayer for you this morning. God, have mercy on me. Help me. Actually, there is no blank in that prayer. It is whole. God, have mercy on me. Help me. When we stop listing or praying our resumes to God, when we stop comparing and cataloging the faults of others, when we stop seeing others as worth less than ourselves, when we trust God with all of who we really are, we are free for passion, compassion, and abundant life, one day at a time. Sin is missing the mark as persons and as peoples. But grace breaks in on us again and again and again when we face our brokenness, offer it to God, trust in that God who is love, to hold us, challenge and change us, and make us whole. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you have comments, please send them to epworthberkley@gmail.com. That's epworthberkley@gmail.com. The website of Epworth United Methodist Church is www.epworthberkley.org. That's www.epworthberkley.org.